And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. We got a big show today. Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee dropping by at 6:45. Looking forward to that. Titans cornerback Roger McCreary at 7:30 as well. And, of course, our man TD coming up at 8 o'clock. Joe Rex Road, how are you? What's going on?
Good. I'm excited that we actually have football games, but I'm also someone who watched zero snaps of that football game. How about you?
Not 1 minute. Not 1 second.
Kind of disappointing, right? I mean, it is still professional football. Actually, I was driving and I heard Josh Jacobs making a couple plays on the radio. I'm like, okay, there's a guy who we know who will play in the football season.
Look, man, I love football. I really do. As far as preseason games are concerned, there are two teams that I will watch, and they are the Green Bay Packers and the Tennessee Titans. I will not watch. I don't care what it is. I will not watch another team's preseason football game. I just can't do it.
Even if it's Monday Night Football.
No.
You flip around and it's good teams and they're actually some of their good players are playing.
No.
No? Okay.
Preseason, I can't do it. It's
you're
just,
even
I've
more
tried. It's,
anti-preseason than me.
Yeah, it's Green Bay. It's Titans. Those are two preseason teams that I can watch. That's it.
I get it.
I actually watched it.
Of course,
guys.
The teams that those guys are playing as well. I guess I can watch them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. only the guys in that uniform.
If you told me that Kyler Murray was on the sideline, maybe with a projector screen diagramming some stuff up, maybe I'd watch that.
There you go. Or Aaron Rodgers, with some magic mushrooms.
Taking his journey.
Don't take the cow poop off the mushrooms, Aaron. That's where you get your buzz.
Yeah, we'll get to that a little bit later. Yeah. It's been an interesting week for the quarterback up there in Green Bay.
That's a huge miss on our part not spending an hour on it yesterday, but we'll make up for it today. So how was the game? Tell us about it.
Well, I watched about 5 minutes.
Oh, good.
I was at dinner, so it was on. Basically, it was about Stidham, the Raiders backup, and they just did all these Brady stories because obviously he was his backup, and I was like, okay. But it did get me really
excited.
Because
he knows Tom Brady, so, yeah, so hey, that guy knows Tom Brady.
So that was, and then Belichick goes to him. So that was the storyline, but it got me really excited for real football. I mean, obviously that is real football, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, we're basically looking at, I guess for the NFL, I was going to say a month, but no, it's 5 weeks. But college football, I mean, so we have Clark Lee. I mean, they play this month.
Yep.
They play this month in Hawaii. They play, I guess that would be, let's try to do some math, 22 days or something?
We're getting there.
I think that's right. So, 3 weeks from tomorrow, right?
Yeah, we're getting there.
Whew. That's kind of sweet.
Got to go
week zero.
Halfway across the world, but you get there.
Hey.
By the way, Vanderbilt favored by 6.5 in that game. Somebody texted us yesterday on the text line. Apparently that line started at 2.5 for Vandy, and now it's at 6.5. So the money's coming in on Vandy, baby.
Interesting.
Almost touchdown favorite.
Okay. Is that the Vandy fan base just feeling excited, or is there something going on with Hawaii?
Oh, Hawaii's program's falling apart, their college football program.
I mean, I will fully admit I'm not up to date fully on the Hawaii football program.
It's not the June Jones days, that's for sure. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, that's 3 weeks. That's actually I hadn't even thought about that till right now, and I think we're gonna make it.
I'll tell you, I will say this. I saw this on Twitter last night, so I didn't watch any of the game, but I did see that apparently the first play of the Hall of Fame game last night was a roughing the passer call where the quarterback was, breathed on. I was like, okay, so this is how we're going to be this year.
Set the tone.
Be real fun.
Set the tone. Yeah, well, that's that reminds me of a preseason game I had the great fortune to attend in New Jersey when Jarrell Casey. Do you remember the Jarrell Casey? Quarterback roughing again. Who the heck was the quarterback for the Jets?
Good Lord. I don't even know.
I just remember that was Robbie Anderson torched Logan Ryan, who was the new acquisition, and it was Logan Ryan, what's going to happen with Logan Ryan?
Well, it was the
preseason's so dumb.
The immediate conversation after was, that Belichick, he knows when to let him go. He let Logan Ryan go.
Yeah, exactly.
Now he's washed up out there. Oh, boy.
Mad scientist Belichick wins again.
That's right.
Logan, I'm trying to think. Logan Ryan, I think, did have a little bit of a rough start in real football, too, but ended up being pretty good. Yeah, figured it
out.
Well,
Malcolm Butler, he had a rough start with the Titans, too.
He had quite a rough start.
He did.
Yeah.
And then about halfway through that season, he started to turn it around, but yeah.
I mean, back then, that was still in the days of, like you know, Titans preseason games were, like, worth attending. And
yeah.
like, there were players you knew who played.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. A week from yesterday, just to see how many guys Vrabel puts out there, guys who he's going to lean on this year.
Will be very, very interesting for sure. Just some news, kind of, on the Yakov-Trenin front yesterday. I put it out there. A source told me that the arbitrator needed an extra day to make a decision, asked for an extra day to make a decision. So no decision yesterday in the Yakov-Trenin case, which it was supposed to come yesterday, and apparently the arbitrator asked for an additional day. I can't say, Joe, that I've ever heard of this happening before.
I was just going to ask you, have you ever heard of this?
I've not. I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's because this case is apparently very difficult to nail down, or
$1 million.
If there were, you know, just great arguments on both sides, the legal proceedings in this just were mind blowing, or, you know, I don't know if something has happened in these arbitrators' personal life. Like, I don't know what's going on here, but apparently he needed an additional day, he or she, to make a decision.
Just split the difference,
you know. Well, it's the other part of this is, you know, we already know it's going to be a 2-year deal. Willie put that out there the other day. Like, is a player elected arbitration, so the team gets the choice of the years, one or two, and they chose two. So it's going to be a 2-year deal. So all you got to figure out is the money, man. You got one job. Just got to figure out what the money is.
Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe it is. Maybe it's – that's almost more likely, right? Like, just something happened, like, oh, I've got a family situation or something, right? Like, how could it possibly be like, guys, I've been going through the algorithms, and it's just – so tough.
We're going to need some more time to really shake this thing out here. I don't know. So I guess that means that there will be an announcement today. Like, today is the day for the Yakov-Trenin thing, but that's what I was told yesterday. The arbitrator needed an additional day.
Nice scoop. Thanks. Got a scoop out of it.
We did get a scoop out of it, but we'll see what happens on that front. Some news in the NHL late last night.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Huberdeau signing an 8-year extension with the Calgary Flames. So we talked about the Matthew Tkachuk trade a lot here, obviously. Would the Predators be interested in that? Would Matthew Tkachuk be interested in going to Nashville? We know what happened. He was traded to Florida. Huberdeau goes back the other way. And now a nice little 8-year, $84 million contract extension for Jonathan Huberdeau in Calgary. So, honestly, yeah, I thought it was well done by Calgary at the time. Now that you've locked down Jonathan Huberdeau for 8 years, that's a pretty darn good trade for Calgary.
That is, yeah, no, it is. It's and a trade that, again, we thought, I know I thought for the first couple of days of Tkachuk, a palooza around here, that, you know, they had to be rebuilding. And, man, they're going to be okay next year. And, by the way, I'm glad you brought this up, because this is the way you say his last name is different from the way some people say, but I hear people say Huberdeau. I've always said Huberdeau.
Well, this is so I've heard three different things with him.
Okay.
I've heard the Florida Panthers broadcast say Huberdeau.
That's usually pretty reliable.
I've heard Huberdeau, and there's the
Hubbard
the
Oaks.
No, you just don't pronounce the H. It's Huberdeau. So I've heard all three of those. So yeah. Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the splitting the difference would be Huberdeau.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because I've noticed, like, Willie says it like I say it, so I trust Willie, but I trust you.
Johnny H.
Yeah, there we go. That's an interesting one, though, where, you know, I guess, well, we have that in this market, too, with the goaltender.
We do.
We'll never get it resolved, I guess.
Well, one thing I wish that hockey players would just do that they don't do enough is, like, hey, this is how you say my name. They're too nice. Like, I need you to get in front of people and be like, hey, man, if I'm screwing up your name, like, yell at me. Like, hey, that's not my name, man. This is my name.
Like, at some point, Mikael Granlund pulled Justin Bradford aside and said, no, it's Granlund.
Yes.
Why didn't you tell everybody else that?
Tell everybody else, man.
Like Travis Kelce. His name's actually Kels.
Apparently
so. Yeah, that's right.
That's nowhere near as
cool. Kelce just seems so way cooler.
Yeah.
We've talked about Joe Theismann before, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's actually Joe Theismann.
Yeah.
Theismann for Heisman.
Yeah.
There's a reason to change that name.
Sure.
Right.
Like, sometimes it makes sense.
We should almost have, like, a weekly, like, name pronunciation segment. Not really, because then people would probably tune out in mass. But, it, you know, we do talk pronunciation quite a bit on this program.
Yeah, we do. Ben, on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, the Jags' Trayvon Walker is coming after the AFC South quarterbacks. Looked very explosive last night in two series.
He is good. He's pretty good. Hey, I mean, the Jags, I think the Jags are good enough to, we make fun of Doug Peterson and the culture. I'm glad that he and Balky are golfing a lot, but
I make fun of Balky more than.
Yeah, well, yeah, especially if you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, you can't help but let that ring through your head. But I look, I'm buying in on the Jaguars being kind of interesting this year, like hanging around as a hopeful for the playoff into late November type thing, which would be, hey, that's a big jump for them. Of the two,
I think they're officially eliminated from playoff contention after week one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they've got some decent players, and I do look. I like Peterson, and I think he's a good coach. So, and Trayvon Walker, no doubt, the guy is guy's a problem. It's like anytime you think about a big, athletic defensive lineman, you go, okay, Aaron Brewer, you're gonna be able to handle that. Like right. It's like it's just him on an island against the guy, you know.
Dylan Raidens, what if he shifts? He goes over there. You going to be okay, Dylan?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Everybody else get out of the way. You two, see if you can block
them. If you can block all these guys at the same time. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Titans disrespect season is upon us. I've seen a little bit of it the last few days, and I think more of it's coming. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063, the game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. So, Joe, I've been very interested and will continue to be interested as more and more predictions, power rankings, things of the like come out heading into this year. How do people around the country view the Tennessee Titans? That is it's a very interesting question to me heading into the rest of this preseason kind of camp here around the NFL. And the power rankings have started to come out, and there's a lot I could go through. I'll just go through three that I've seen. PFF put theirs out a couple of days ago heading into the season, our good friends at Pro Football Focus. They have the Titans at number 17. So 17 for the Titans. I think FanDuel put theirs out yesterday. They had the Titans. I can't remember if it was 17 or 18.
I think at least 18.
I think
19,
it was 18.
Right?
18. Yeah, it was 18. So we've got PFF at 8 or at 17, FanDuel at 18, and the Score put theirs out, and the Titans were at 14. So everybody's got them. I mean, the Scores, they're high on the Titans, man.
So they got to make it in the playoffs.
Yeah, they got to make it in the playoffs. They're like everybody's right around kind of like the middle of the pack there for the Titans. And honestly, this is kind of where I expected them to be with some of the power rankings. My question is, do you think the Titans are being disrespected when you're talking about 17, 18 in the league? That is technically, Joe, the bottom half of the NFL.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'd love to know how many number one seeds from the year before were then basically like consensus picked to not make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I bet you it has not happened very much at all. And the thing is, if it has happened, then it's probably because there was a huge personnel shift, huge personnel loss. I mean, seriously, I'd love to know that. I mean, that's a hard one to figure out because you'd have to go back and look at a bunch of preseason predictions for a particular year. But think about that. A one seed, I like when our the Athletic things come up, I bet you the Titans are not picked to make the playoffs. In fact, I don't remember if we've done a power. Have we done a power ranking?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Have we voted, though, and it just hasn't come out yet? I don't know. But I think that may be the case. And I don't remember where I put the Titans, but certainly I didn't have them out of, like, I had them maybe like, you know.
You didn't have an 18?
10 or 11. Yeah, no. I mean, it wasn't like super high, but I think it was probably around 10, 10, 11. But I think that, I think they will be picked by us and by everybody. Well, not everybody, but consensus, majority opinion will be that the Titans are not going to make the playoffs this year. For the one seed that brings back its quarterback, brings back its star running back, brings back an entire defense that was really good at the end of the year, lost A.J. Brown.
The NFL coach of the year.
Yeah, has the NFL coach of the year, played the most players in the history of the NFL on the way to still getting the one seed, and yet, now A.J. Brown definitely. That one I understand. Like, the A.J. Brown aspect of it, I get that. You know, people think of the Titans, they think of Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown. Well, there's half of that's gone.
Right.
But still, the one seed, not the playoffs.
Look, there's a couple of things about this conversation. Number one, I always try to do my best to guard against any form of homerism. Like, I'm not a Titans fan, but the Titans are the team we talk about all the time. So, you know, sometimes I think there's maybe you're too close to the forest to see the weeds. That I try to avoid sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I do look at this list, and this is not just – I'm looking at PFF right now, but I think FanDuel had them exactly the same. Like the Denver Broncos being at 7, I'm like, okay, all right. I know they've got Russell Wilson. I probably need to see a little bit more before I got them at number 7.
That's high.
On this list. That's pretty high. I mean, right now, the Cleveland Browns are at 10, and I'm sorry. You cannot put the Cleveland Browns at 10 right now with what's going on with their quarterback. It doesn't make any sense to me. They're ahead of the Ravens. I don't know that I'd have them ahead of the Ravens if Deshaun Watson was healthy and not suspended anyway.
Right.
So,
yeah, I agree.
And then if I knew this would happen, and it has. And this is the one that I think is going to continue to grind the gears of Titans fans. I think in FanDuel's list, the Eagles were 14. At PFF, the Eagles are 13. So the Eagles being ahead of the Titans, that's going to drive some people crazy.
Yeah. I saw one of them also had like Chargers 4, which is like, okay, take
it easy.
This one's
got the Chargers 5, yeah.
Take it easy. See, the thing about the Eagles is, so power rankings are just supposed to be team quality. I would, if someone tells me, like, I like the Eagles' chances of making the playoffs better than the Titans.
Sure.
I'm not saying I think that, but like at least that's arguable because of the league they're in.
Right.
Right? I mean, because of the conference they're in. But yeah, I don't see how the Eagles are a better team. I mean, I gotta see. Yeah, I love the A.J. Brown acquisition, you know. But gotta see a lot more from Jalen Hurts.
I'm really interested to see how this goes. Now, we know Vrabel, and you know, I'm not saying that Vrabel sits around and just starts combing through PFF and reading ESPN and your stuff at the
not
Athletic all
doesn't.
Day. I'm not saying he doesn't either, though. But I do know that the Titans have been pretty good in that quote-unquote underdog role before, and I think there will be enough noise, or maybe lack thereof, around the Titans this year heading into the season that I have no doubt in my mind that Vrabel's going to use some of that.
Yeah, you know, I agree. It's interesting because Kevin Byard was, you know, available yesterday. By the way, really cool.
Yeah.
Scene at – and Michelle Knezovic got some great video of this.
I did.
At – what is your Twitter handle? At Michelle Knezovic?
K-N-E-Z-O-V.
Yeah.
I couldn't fit my whole name.
It's just your last name?
No, it's at Michelle K-N-E-Z-O-V.
Oh,
I couldn't fit my whole name.
I got you. At Michelle Knezov. Okay. Anyway, she got great video. You had Rick Stockstill. It was interesting because Rick Stockstill was at practice yesterday. And then all these other, like Sidney McPhee, the president of Middle Tennessee, yeah. And Chris Massaro, they're all like hiding in the building, I guess. And they came out and retired Kevin Byard's jersey. So very cool scene with that. And Byard, as he is often, was asked about like the disrespect angle and kind of blew it off. I almost feel like with Byard, it's like, I mean, it's year 7 of this stuff. He's almost sick. But Byard has been one of those outspoken guys. And look, that's his career too, right? That's his individual career, being overlooked, being underrated, proving people wrong, using it as fuel.
Kentucky missed out on that one.
That's right. Your BBN blew it.
I will say, though, like, I think it's going to be a little bit different this year. Like, I didn't sense much disrespect for the Titans heading into last year. Like,
no.
They were talked about a lot. You know, it wasn't just us talking about the offense. It was, you know, there were unnamed NFL defensive coordinators looking at that thing, being like, I don't know how in the world anybody's going to stop them. So I didn't sense a whole lot of that last year. This year, I think it's going to be completely opposite. Like, the Titans, basically, I think are going to be an afterthought for a lot of people heading into this year. That's probably the word I would use, is an afterthought.
Yes, and that's been, you know, I mean, that's, I know Titans fans, some Titans fans are really bothered by how that seems to be a theme over a long period of time, even when they've had good teams. But I agree, last year, we talked about it a lot going to last year, like, okay, they're actually getting attention. They're talking about the Titans on Good Morning Football and yep. First Take on that stuff, and not in a dismissive way. So, look, last year was the most anticipated season in a long time for the Titans, and they did get that respect. And then you get like week one, you get smacked in the face. But yeah, I agree. It's just it's totally afterthought right now. Part of it is understandable. The quarterbacks in the AFC, some of the other rosters in the AFC look really good. It's a loaded conference. And the Colts look good. I mean, look, I can't sit here and rip like the Colts being picked because right now they're still my pick to win the division. The Colts are.
Matt Ryan, but I also really good 7-on-7 yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, and look, and that stuff is absolutely it's like that in every game. If you
I'm
really
just saying he was really good in 7-on-7
sure,
yesterday.
I know.
Apparently,
and look, I think Matt Ryan is definitely being a little bit inflated right now in how good he is. But the Colts are really good. You know, I think the Colts are really good. But, yes, I mean, the Titans really in quality of team, I think if you rank them lower than, like, 12, I think you're missing the boat on everything that they have going for them. And I don't think that's just, like, being here and being, you know, because you can get – everybody in any NFL city can get fooled a little bit by camp. Wow, everybody looks great out here, you know?
The Broncos.
But I don't think that's that.
The Broncos, to me, feel like last year's Chargers, where everybody's like, oh, yeah, this is it. This is it for them. The Chargers are about to break through. And we know what happened. The Chargers didn't make the playoffs last year. I mean, I guess I'm not saying for sure Denver's not going to make the playoffs, but I'd pump the brakes on the Broncos a little bit. I know Russell Wilson's in there. They got a good defense. You know, they got some good pieces. But 7?
Yeah.
Let's calm down.
That's too high. I mean, they're kind of like the Chargers or like the Browns have been in some past years too. I mean, like the Browns going into 2019 was like, oh, my goodness, look at the Browns. And then the Titans beat them 40-10 or whatever the heck, and they were very disappointing.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I do actually buy the Chargers this year. I did not last year. I do buy them this year.
I mean, they better be good. Yeah. Like, there's no excuse for them to not be really good. Now, 4? I don't know about that, but they should be absolutely in the playoffs and I think a contender.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into that discussion coming up a little bit later in the show. We'll switch gears and talk a little Vandy football coming up next. Clark Lee coming up at 6:45. What are our expectations for this Vanderbilt team heading into this season? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. We'll be joined by Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee coming up at 6:45. Looking forward to that conversation. So speaking of Vanderbilt, as we pointed out to begin the show, Joe, just a few weeks away from opening the season up down in Hawaii. So they'll get started before pretty much everybody else in the college football season. As you view this team, we know that Mike Wright is the starting quarterback, at least going into camp, that Clark Lee put out there at SEC Media Days. How do you view this group and what Clark Lee has been able to build now heading into his second year? We know that there were some lumps that they had to take last year, many lumps that they had to take last year. How do you think that that has prepared them for now? How much more better equipped do you feel like they are heading into this season? How do you view this group with opening day for them against Hawaii just a few weeks away?
Well, I think on the offensive skill front, well, first of all, great question for Clark Lee. Next segment is, yep. Is Mike Wright still the number one quarterback?
Yeah.
And how, you know, how's that looking? Like, how's Ken Seals reacting to that? You know, what's the – as we talk about a game coming up in 3 weeks, you know, how's that trending? But I think the offensive skill for Vanderbilt is promising. And look, Vanderbilt in recent years, over the years, has had some really good offensive skill players, right? I mean, honestly, there's – if you're a Power 5 school, you think about all the great – like think about some of the great receivers that come out of, you know, like Group of 5 schools and stuff, right? Like you should be able to have good skill. I do think that Vanderbilt does. I mean, I think you talk about – well, first of all, Raymond Davis, I think, is something – someone that people should remember that he was hurt last year. Temple – transfer, really promising. I think he's really good. I think he'll be their best back as long as he is fully healthy, and that's a really nice add. And then there's a lot of intriguing young receivers. Ben Bresnahan, and I didn't realize this until like talking to their coaches for their like state of the program thing, but Ben Bresnahan on the first game for sure, early in the first game, you know, someone runs a route wrong. So they don't clear out the area for a little tight end screen, and he gets, you know, crushed in the knees and basically played with a knee injury all year. He's good. Anybody remember Ben Bresnahan in that, you know, awful last Derek Mason season? He was, he's a player. So you got, you know, Will Shepard. You've got, I think, Quincy Skinner is an exciting player at receiver. You got some other young guys out there too. I mean, is Davion Walker going to have a chance? You got Jaden McGowan. I mean, I like their skill. The big question with Vanderbilt, I think a lot, and with Vanderbilt this year is how you looking in the trenches? And yep. I just don't know what to expect there. I mean, there's some new faces out there, lost some good players, weren't good enough last year, you know, to compete against SEC defenses largely. And that's just a huge deal for them. And then defensively, long way to go. Got some returnees who are pretty good. I think the recruiting class would have to factor in to some extent. You know, they've got to elevate the talent level there.
Well, Clark Lee talked so much last year about, you know, playing to the finish and not letting, you know, some external factors kind of distract you or derail you if you're a player on this team. And he's been pretty open about it. I thought he was open about it again at SEC Media Days. Like, there was some, I guess, repair work from the ground up that had to be done with this group, especially those that had been there for a little bit, of, you know, there was some, I think trauma was the word that he used, of how things had gone and especially how things had finished with the Derek Mason era, that he's had to come in and rebuild. We knew from the moment he took over this job, number one, it's going to be a very difficult job, but number two, it's going to take a while. Like, there was that roster was in rough shape when he took over, and I think he's done well on the recruiting part of it. I think I'm interested to see how well they can continue to do as, you know, the landscape of college football continues to shift every day, it seems like. But so far, I think so good on the recruiting front for what they've been able to do thus far. But this, to me, heading into this season, kind of feels like it's another kind of a slog of the year in terms of probably not where you need to be in the trenches, probably not where you need to be from a depth perspective. I guess your hope is, you know, Mike Wright comes in and he can stay healthy and he can make some plays and kind of take that next step as a quarterback, because I do think they're working with something there. Like, I've seen enough of Mike Wright for me to believe that he's got the tools to be a pretty good SEC quarterback. I mean, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, a first-round pick or anything like that, but he's got the tools to be a pretty good SEC quarterback. And honestly, I thought Ken Seals had the tools to be a pretty good SEC quarterback too after his freshman year. So you could be in a much worse situation quarterback-wise, but you know, other than that, I just depth-wise, I don't think they're anywhere close to where they need to be.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see Mike Wright play and see what it looks like. You know, if he's holding the one spot, if the plan is, you know what, this is Mike's offense right now, you know, what does that look like and how much has he improved? I mean, according to Clark Lee and Joey Lynch, the offensive coordinator, they saw huge gains in the spring from him. It's in terms of some of the efficiency stuff, get the ball out quickly and accurately, because he is a big play waiting to happen. I mean, there's no doubt. He's an exciting player. And that's where it's a player like that. You know, it's like you talk about Tennessee. You know, how can they get up to the level of the top teams? Well, you got to do a lot of things to get there. But if you have a great quarterback, well, you can close some of the gap. And the same thing with Vanderbilt. You know, how can you get some SEC wins and get back into, you know, being a bowl team? I mean, if you have a playmaker who's playing at a high level, that makes a big difference. Kyle Shurmur, totally, you know, different. He was not a guy who ever wanted to exit the pocket or could exit the pocket very well, but he was a good quarterback, and they had good skill around him, you know, and Vanderbilt should be able to get there again. And you're right that the recruiting seems to be, they just got another verbal the other day. They seem to be, like, recruiting to where if you – last year's class and the way this one's looking right now – if you keep doing that, you're definitely going to have an overall much more talented roster in a couple years than you did in the last few years of the Derek Mason tenure. You know, he just wasn't doing enough. It's hard to do, but this staff right now is definitely outperforming that by, I'd say, a pretty considerable margin.
I would say so too. Now, the thing I worry about this year, whether it's Mike Wright, Ken Seals, whoever back there, can the offensive line hold up? Because, you know, I thought that the Tyler Steen transfer to Alabama was a pretty big deal for this group. He started, I think, 10 of 11 last year. And then all of a sudden Nick Saban comes calling him, hey, what's going on, man? You can come maybe start for us. And you lose your best offensive lineman to Alabama. That's a tough one. So you're already in a rough spot anyway on the offensive line, and then you lose him, and that's going to be tough to overcome.
Yeah, well, and it's almost like – it's like, think about over the years in baseball, like if the Royals have a great, or the Brewers or the Pirates have a great player, you're just like, nah, when's he going to be a New York Yankee?
Yeah.
You know? And that's the way things are now. It's like, Saban looking around the SEC. Yeah. I mean, Saban's taking Georgia receivers, let alone Vanderbilt offensive linemen. You know, it's just, so it's tough. And you have to account for that and plan for that. And, you know, the big thing with, it's almost a basketball philosophy in terms of, we've had this era of obviously one and done and great talent at places like Kentucky.
Yeah.
And one title at Kentucky in all this time.
Get it in there.
Okay.
You've been a little,
you've been a little too kind to Kentucky this week. I'm glad you're finishing the week off strong.
Yeah, I'm just making a point. But the point is, how many teams have we seen win it or get deep that don't have tons of NBA players, but they have an old team that actually stayed together? Villanova has done this extremely well. There's other programs. I mean, North Carolina had a team
like that, Virginia.
There you go. That's the Clark Lee philosophy, is, you know, the benefits of being at Vanderbilt, the degree, all that stuff, and the growing together and having some of these older experienced teams that, okay, they don't have five first round picks projecting the starting lineup, but when you have fifth-year seniors, you know, sometimes you can still win and things like that. But you need to keep those guys too. That's where it becomes more challenging to do what he's trying to do there.
Yep, no question about it. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee. We'll get his thoughts on fall camp and how he views this team heading into the season. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've been talking some Vanderbilt football, and to help us do it even more, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee. Clark, what's going on? How are we doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Good morning to you both. I'm excited to be with you.
Well, we're excited to have you with us. You were gracious enough to join us every week last year in year one, and starting off year two, you're coming back on with us. That speaks high of your character, volunteering to come back on our show. We appreciate it.
I have fun with you guys. This is always a good time.
That's right. So, Clark, obviously football season is finally here. Lots of excitement around here with football coming back. I'm just curious, from your vantage point, what do you make of this group and the strides that they've made over the offseason and where you guys sit heading into this season?
Well, anytime, I think if you ask any coach in the country right now early in camp, you're going to get probably the same response. We're a work in progress. I do think we're excited as a staff, just and our team too, there's a noticeable difference in the way our team looks, the way our team runs and hits, and you can see the incremental progress that's taken hold here through our training and our development program. Obviously, we have a lot of new players too. We have over 30 new roster members, and so getting them quickly acclimated to the way we do things. But it's been exciting here early to kind of see where they fit in and see how they strengthen us. And so, we have a young group that's hungry, that I feel like is making strides, but we're going to scrimmage tomorrow. We'll find out a lot more about where we are after that.
So Clark, I got to ask about the quarterback situation. Mike Wright, still the one. How is he performing? How's Ken Seals reacting to that? What's the situation with the quarterbacks?
Yeah, Mike's running with the first group. He's been performing well. Obviously, I think any time in camp, it's particularly with young players, different than NFL veterans. There's growth that's every day, right? So you're going to have good plays and bad plays, and you're just trying to move the players along to be at their highest level by the season comes. But he's been playing well. Obviously, we feel like he also brings an X factor with his legs and the way he can run. We've seen that as we've been able to go live here a little bit. Ken has had a great camp. He's been on it. He's on a mission. I got a ton of respect for that guy. And then AJ Swan too. That's another guy that came in early that made good impressions here through the winter and spring, that's come back after summer in better shape and with a further understanding of the playbook. And he's been able to go out there and lead the offense and make plays at times. So nothing will shift in that depth order. Probably, we'll take both scrimmages to really look at it. They are getting reps and rotations with a bunch of different groups. So Mike takes the reps for the starters, but we cycle through all three guys, and then Walter and Drew also will mix up in there too. But we'll give this some time. But right now, we feel good about where we are, and think all three guys are strengthening and feel like we're heading in the right direction there.
Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Clark, to that point, in your time with Mike, where have you seen him take the biggest strides in his game?
Well, one of the big coaching points that I would have for him a year ago was just, if you're going to play quarterback, you have to strengthen all the other 10 positions on the field, meaning, it's about, from getting the protection right and being clear in communication that way to making sure we have the receivers run the right routes to on a designed pass play, being able to get rid of the ball on time and in space so that, we can have the other guys make plays. And I think Mike, as he's learning to play quarterback in this system, is like we all do, we default to our strengths. His strength is as a creator. He's incredible in play creation. We saw that to our benefit a year ago in the season. I thought at times early in fall camp and last spring, you know, it sometimes would, the play would break before he even had a chance to get started. You know, so I've seen progress that way. I mean, he's got a great command on the field. Obviously, you know, he's got the dynamic character and charisma of a leader. You know, those are all things that we're, you know, he's continuing to strengthen just as he gets older. But I think he's doing a better job of playing 1 of 11 and then looking for opportunities to use that creative skill that he has that makes him a game changer.
Is there, I know it's early, although it's, I didn't even think about this, Clark, until we were talking about this earlier. I mean, it's three weeks until basically 3 weeks from tomorrow, you guys are playing a football game in Hawaii. So maybe, I guess, things a little bit accelerated. Is there a position group right now that has really jumped out at you? Maybe a surprise. And I guess, is there a position group right now that you would say, okay, this group needs the most work to get ready before we open the season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we felt pretty good about certain spots coming into fall. I think those have kind of held solid, particularly like the second level of our defense. We've had, I think strong corner play on defense, and, you know, at the safety position, we probably made our biggest strides there, both with the development of guys that were turning, but also the addition of some freshmen in those spots. You know, we need our defensive line to come on. I just think we're still character forming there. I think we're identity forming in that group, and I don't think that you can win at a high level in college football, but certainly not in the SEC unless that group's ready to take over a game. You know, they've shown flashes. We have guys that certainly can make plays. We also have the addition of, you know, transfers and young players that, you know, kind of working their way into the mix. So that'll be a group that I'm going to want to continue on defense to keep an eye on and push to find another level. Offensively, we feel, obviously, the quarterback position, you know, we feel good about, I think, letting all that settle and sort, but, you know, they've done a nice job. We think running back's a strength for us. You know, we have three guys coming back that carried the ball for us a year ago that we think are good players. Obviously, with Mike back there, you had an additional running threat that really is going to stress defenses out. Our offensive line was probably our biggest concern heading into spring. We felt like they, just really gelled together. They're playing better as a unit, playing with an identity. You know, we're still waiting for the top five to sort out. We've got about eight guys that are charging for a starting spot, but, you know, we'll have the ability to spell those guys in games and to play some depth there, which is exciting. I think on offense, then the tight end group too, I think has had a really good camp. Offensively, it's the receiver group that I'm going to keep an eye on. You know, we need, obviously, Will Shepard's, I think, had a good fall to this point, working hard. We think he can be a difference maker for us on that side of the ball. Jaden McGowan is a young player, flashed in the spring. You know, need him to find some consistency, but we're excited about him. And then you have a bunch of guys that are unproven that are using camp to earn roles. Quincy Skinner and Logan Kyle. There's a number of guys there that we're going to be keeping a close eye on over the next couple weeks to kind of get things sorted out before heading to Hawaii.
Clark, you brought up Will Shepard there. Just how much progress have you seen from him in terms of his growth and his overall game over the course of the last year?
Well, I think it starts with his growth as a person. I feel like he's matured a ton. I think he's, he's just become so consistent day in, day out in terms of his work output on the field. He's becoming a leader in that respect where his teammates count on him to come out and set a tone as far as workload goes. He's very skilled, you know, and this is from the first time we watched him run, we knew that we had something that could potentially be special. He's working on his finishes in terms of on the 50-50 balls, being able to go up and get it. And again, as a receiver, it's sometimes just making that routine play over and over and over again. He's the guy that we've seen make the routine play and then break it into an explosive. And so, we're pleased with his progress, and obviously, our conversation with him and what he knows to be true is that we feel like he still has so much further to go to reach his potential. So we're just going to keep pushing him there.
Clark, how different is this for you in terms of your staff compared with a year ago? Now, obviously, you kind of made a switch at play caller during camp last year. Joey Lynch is in there. I know you lost Jesse Minter and you have Nick Howell now at D coordinator, but is there more like continuity, I guess efficiency with the staff compared to your first year?
Yeah, I mean, I think on offense, it's been about retention. Those guys, Joey starting in January, really, really began his work to put his fingerprints on the design of the offense. I thought he did a nice job in the fall in a tough situation, building an identity as we're moving along. Those guys are comfortable and the players are comfortable. I think even early in camp, you kind of got this feeling that offensively, maybe we were probably a little further ahead than the defense was, just because there's still some, again, identity forming there and relationship building there. But Nick Howell, the first thing is, Bronco Mendenhall is a close friend and mentor, and everyone's different, every program's different, but we're similar in the foundational ways, in the way we approach program building. And Nick was with him for 16 years, so it was a quick, Nick quickly got in and got comfortable, and he and I have a great rapport. And then we filled out that defensive staff with all guys that I knew or I had trained. So there's a lot of familiarity there, and that's exciting. We're having a lot of fun, honestly. And our players have, at this level, it's about capturing hearts and minds. So until you build trust, it's hard to move somebody forward. These guys are, there's still an element of college football that's about the team, and it's about, growing people, and that requires a closeness of relationship, to have access to do that. I've been really impressed with our defensive staff with respect to how quickly they were able to form meaningful relationships, and I think what we're seeing is a group that's learning how to play really hard and play together, and I think that makes, I can't wait to watch those guys, in the season just go compete, because I see that the identity's forming, I see the intensity's there. I feel like we're further along in terms of execution. We didn't do a total overhaul of, the package as it was a year ago. We kept a lot of the building blocks there, just made a couple of adjustments that we would have made anyways, and So, on the whole, I think we feel good about our operation. We feel good about kind of the interpersonal connections that are growing in the building. We think all those things are taking hold in the competitive arena on the field, and excited to, over the next few weeks, really strengthen all those bonds so that we can go and put the best possible team two on the field that we can play.
Well, Clark, we're excited that football season is back. Looking forward to seeing you guys on the field. August 27th will be here before we know it. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Always, always a pleasure. Thank you, guys, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get into the Titans coming next. Got more of your thoughts to get to on that as well. Let me tell you about my friends at Twin Peaks. They'll hook you up for your fantasy football draft party, which includes a draft board, player stickers, free Wi-Fi, a bonus $50 for the commish, and a $5 bonus card for each drafter as well. Fantasy football right around the corner. And when you're not on the clock, you can relax with one of Twin Peaks' refreshing 29-degree beers, or you can check out indulgent shareables like the double stack nachos, loaded fries, multiple flavors of great boneless wings as well. So make sure you call Twin Peaks in Cool Springs to book your fantasy football draft party at 615-221-0869. That's 615-221-0869. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.